iron in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. A new world order. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Howdy, howdy, ho, howdy, ho. Let me turn that down a little bit. We're having problems with everything being hot again. Not just the temperature, but the audio board. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. I am Dutch Jones. We are coming to you live right now. It is June 2011. The date is somewhere around, what are we looking at here? The 27th, I believe, of June 2011. It is 5:02 p.m., 1700 hours, for those of you that like to hear it that way. And I am Dutch Jones, and we're coming to you from the Stronghold Radio here in Central California. Some people try to say we're Southern California. We're south of Fresno. I always thought Bakersfield was the line. So we're Central California, just above the San Joaquin Valley. We are in the foothills outside the south entrance of Sequoia National Park. We can see snow still, and we're in the 100-degree heat area. But I'm not complaining. At least I'm above ground, and we're still moving. People are saying they can hardly hear me now. How about that? Okay, that's weird. We're getting really... It's like nobody touched the soundboard, and now everything's messed up. It's no different than when we went away. Is that too low over there, Lou? I don't see it moving very much. Okay. yeah, we're trying to turn it up here. We're trying to make sure that it works. Bring that up a little bit over there, Lou. You brought it down too much. Remember, it's supposed to just barely go into the yellow. One, two, three, there we go. I don't know what Lou does up here for the 40 minutes that he's here before. He doesn't test the audio at all. But we are on live now, and hopefully everybody can hear us. I'm sure the overdriven intro and everything chased everybody away, and we apologize for that. We greatly apologize for that. So, folks, tell me if it's sounding good now. We're adjusting everything. We haven't been here since Thursday, I think. We've just been too busy doing stuff up here at the church at Kauia. I can hear it fine in my headphones. That's what's weird. So I know it's the computer that's sending it out. Okay, I'm getting an okay. That works. Welcome, everyone, for tuning in, whether you're listening on the Internet, through Ustream, through our website, dutchjones.info, through Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. If you're listening through Scotty, who retransmits it on the 11-meter band in their upstate New York. Now, 11-meter band is just a fancy way of saying Citizens Band Radio. that's why we do that. People listening on podcast, thank you all. People who listen to the link that's posted on Facebook, thank you so much. And everyone that listens through the archives that Olema so graciously puts together and makes sure they get up there and... doing a great job there. Most people actually, we get more of our listeners through the podcast, through the download of the stuff, so that's good there. Well, folks, Thursday was a great show. We talked a little bit about preparation. We talked about getting things ready. The pastor came in and under Practical Christianity's hour on Thursday and talked about almost the same thing, which surprised me because I didn't tell him what we were going to be talking about. Let me get a drink of water here. Hang on. And that's kind of been the theme for the whole weekend. We've been doing a lot of stuff this weekend, getting ready for our man camp over there on the, let me look here, July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of July. We got our second shooting range. Bravo Range is almost ready to go as far as its structure. We just have to basically put in some comfort items, put in some target stands, and we're ready to go. Spent a couple hours over there. The real work was done by the backhoe operator. Those guys are amazing. I'm always surprised at where they can put those backhoes. It's like a ballet. This guy just walked this thing into the trees, moving boulders the size of my cars, and just tearing through the trees. It was really fun to watch. And so we're going to have that range ready to go, and it's going to be about, I said 180 degrees last week. It's more like about 150, to be honest, but it's going to make for some better shooting opportunities for training. Turn that fan towards us for a little bit, Lou, down there. We'll take it off of the amplifier and see what we can do. Do the one on the ground, not the one on the amplifier. Turn the one on the ground. Make sure it's on high. There we go. Oh, nice. I got a breeze. Now, don't you block that breeze. You take half of it, but don't block the whole breeze now. Doing that, so we're getting ready for things coming up this summer, things coming up in the fall. But the big focus up here is we had a really good sermon on Sunday, and it was about networking and those types of things, and that's what we're going to talk mostly about. But I do want to hit some of the news, just a little bit of the news. I won't go into too much detail. I probably won't even read any of it, but things you got to be aware of. North Korea and China tested an ICBM over the weekend. They launched it up to a height of about 17 miles. It didn't have a complete fuel load. And they detonated a conventional payload of explosives, but the trigger that they used was a nuclear-type trigger. Intelligence has shown that so they now have the capability to launch an ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. For those of you in Orange Cove, that means it goes all the way across the ocean and can hit another chunk of land. But what I see in this, and people that I've talked to, I actually had a call today and I was reading about it. It's funny. It's like I'm not the only one thinking about it. Was that this makes the EMP device, you know, possible. Electromagnetic pulse. They'll be able to shut down our electrical grid, I believe. And don't count on our guys being able to shoot it down. But it was funny that the same weekend we tested some missiles, too, at the same time. But here's the weird thing. After they tested it, some scientists who had gone Russia through Iran to North Korea to help them do that, don't think for a minute that the Russians aren't bad guys anymore. And they were flying back, and their plane crashed, and they all died. These nuclear scientists that were helping North Korea, kind of tying up some loose ends, aren't they, there, the North Koreans and China. So weirdness going on there. The nuke plant in Omaha, Nebraska, there was a breach yesterday of the dike around it, the protective dike. She let the water get through, and they're saying that they're not facing any problems. Los Alamos, in New Mexico, it had to be evacuated because of fire. We've just got all these potential hazards when dealing with nuclear stuff now, don't we, right now? It's getting to be a very interesting and scary world. The UN, wow, that's funny, Warland. There were, where was I going with that? I looked down to read the chat room and I lost my train of thought. Let me think here. But, oh, the UN World Court, they're issuing arrest warrants for Gaddafi, his sons, and some of his senior staff, which is funny to me because the guy's been, you know, until he shut up after we bombed his family back in the 80s or 90s, 80s, he was a known terrorist. He funded terrorists. He funded the, you know, Lockerbie disaster, act of terrorism, and they wouldn't issue one there. Now they're issuing one for him because he's making Muslims mad. It's just the hypocrisy in all of this and just the political world circus that we're watching and all these clowns, it's just insane. You've got Obama pulling troops out of Afghanistan. You've got him releasing, you know, several million barrels of oil, and suddenly the gas prices go down. They're completely unrelated. It's all manipulated. It's not like things aren't getting better because at the same time he's doing all these things, he's still running for president, remember? So they're trying to make it look like he's handling the thing in Libya, and he keeps denying that it's a war. I don't know. The whole national level thing has really gotten to the point where I'm just like, it's a lost cause. The national level events that are going on, they're going to do what they're going to do. There's nothing that I can do to stop them. You and I can't stop the North Koreans from attacking us. We can't stop the madness in the Middle East. We're not going to stop it. It's just going to continue going on, no matter which side of the board you're on. We're not gonna see an end to our depression. I don't mean mental depression. I mean our economic depression here in America. We're not going to see any of these programs work. It's just going to be a continued downward spiral into third worldism for us. And there's no point in even doing more. I mean, you can see stuff like Blagojevich, you know, gets convicted. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Yahoo, a crooked politician goes to jail. But he's taking it for the team. The real crimes that Obongo was involved in Chicago and everything will be covered up, and Blagojevich is taking it for the team. You know, he'll get 300 years in prison. Who knows what will happen to him. He'll probably get stabbed for his toupee. But all of that stuff we can't control. What we can control is our families, right? Our families, our communities, and our churches. Maybe our communities to a certain extent. So what we've got to do is we've got to continue to focus on our families. And if I'm going to continue to be called to share with you guys, which I don't know if I will because nobody donated for the internet bill, and it looks like I'm surprised we're even on, to be honest with you. But eventually, you know, that'll go away. But as long as I can continue to share with you guys, it's going to be about basic family survival stuff. That's going to be the focus of this show. And I've been doing a lot of research over the weekend in between doing some work, and I thank the Lord that I got some work so we could get some money to put fuel in our cars to do the things we needed to do. Anthea's not with us. She's back with her birth mother. And so we miss our daughter greatly. But the Lord provided the dollar. As soon as we get the money, it goes right in the tank. $50 to fill a gas tank now. You know, to drive the hundreds of miles to return my child to where the courts say she has to be. But other than that, the rest of the weekend was spent doing research and things. And one of the things that I've looked up is a family of four can survive on extremely little if they are disciplined, they all work hard, and they prepare. You don't need a whole lot. There's all kinds of shows out there. Oh, you can build your own survival ranch. You can buy all this land. You can do all that. No, I'm talking about a corner of the land, a corner of the world where you just get a little chunk of land where you can do your own garden. You put up a 12 by 16 or 12 by 12 survival cabin, maybe two stories with a dugout underneath it. That's all you need. This opulence that we've been addicted to in America, the electricity that we've been addicted to in America, the immediate satisfaction of our urges has made us fat and stupid, literally fat and stupid. Being able to go to 7-Eleven whenever you want and get a microwave burrito, it's made you fat and stupid. It's made you lazy. Even the hardest working man in America, the hardest working woman in America today is nothing compared to the family on a farm in the 1870s of the American plains. Nothing. A 9-year-old is tougher than the toughest teamster today, as far as I'm concerned, both emotionally and physically. And we've got to figure out a way to eke back to that type of mentality and physicality. So I was looking up and people saying, well, I don't have any money, I can't do anything. Well, if you can find three or four families that you can pull together and get a chunk of land somewhere. Now, when you're getting the land, of course, you want it to be at least far enough away from a city that a horde of walking people won't get there immediately. How long? I don't know. Some people recommend different things, but I would say be at least a 3-day walking distance from a city. Because I have a feeling when it gets bad, there won't be a lot of fuel around anyway, so they won't be driving. So at least 3 days. You want 72 hours. So by the time they get to you, they're worn out, they're weak, and you have a chance at either repelling them or evading them. You want a place that's secluded enough that you can hide it. A place that, of course, has sustainable resources like water, a place to grow food. And I'm here to tell you, most of Southern California, and I'm kind of catering it towards that because hopefully my friends are listening that I poked in the eye to listen today, you're not going to survive in the cities or the deserts in America. We got a lot of listeners that are in Arizona and, you know, the Southwest. You know, but farmers and, you know, people are down here. It's all irrigation-oriented. It's all based on electricity. When the electricity disappears, unless you've got some way of generating it continuously for an indefinite amount of time, and solar's not the answer because those batteries do not cycle forever. You're going to need mechanical means, windmills, whatever, to get your water out to plant. And if you don't have all the fertilizers and all that, you're not going to mass produce. But a family plot, a small family plot, is sustainable. But if you don't have the knowledge base to do it, it doesn't matter if you have no money or all the money in the world. I was looking at some of the things. You could get like a 12 by 18 dry creek shed, a vaulted shed that has a loft in it, for about $150 a month, or you could go spend like $3,000 to $4,000 on them. And here's your cabin right there. You put that on the ground, you reinforce this thing, it's your core, it's your build it. But if you've got skills, go out and get 2x4s, 4x4s, plywood, some roofing material, a couple windows, and you build a cabin on some property that has the water, has the available space for farming. Don't count on just hunting. You're not going to be able to do it. It takes too many resources, and it's not enough to bet your family's future on. You have to grow food. You have to grow food, period. You have to trap food. You have to be somehow raise your own animals. So there's something there, but you have to be able to grow it too. Because other than that, it's just not going to be enough. I wouldn't bet my family's future on me being a good shot and there being enough turkeys around here. Especially where I'm at. We're not even in the wilds. I mean, this is urban interface. I consider this a community. I can see a house out my front window, and I don't even, you know, talk to the guy there. I know who he is, but he's 200 yards away or whatever. But you can get these structures pre-made. You can make your own. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to look like, you know, Bonanza. It doesn't even have to look Grizzly Adams. It just has to be something that you can put a stove in. That's the other thing. You have to have a wood stove. A wood-burning stove, and you have to have a supply of wood. So what does that tell you? You have to be somewhere where there are trees growing that you and your family can harvest for fuel. Yeah, I know in the old days they fried buffalo patties and cooked over them and all that kind of stuff. Burned cow pies, but you're not going to be able to do that. There aren't huge herds of cows and buffalo anymore. You're going to need to be somewhere because you can't store, period. You can't store the supplies you're going to need. Even if you have a year's supply of heat tabs and beans and weenies, that year's going to go by so stinking fast. This last year went by super fast. I was just thinking about from July last year to July this year. You can't do it. It's physically impossible. You're going to have a means of production, and you can't do it alone. So you've got to find somebody that's willing to let you go on their land, because I think it's too late. If you don't have land now, there's nothing you can do. We're not saying code enforcement doesn't like wood-burning stoves. Well, I have a message for code enforcement or compliance up yours. Stoves are going to be the only thing you do. It'll heat water. It'll heat your house. It'll cook your food. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. And we've just got a little tiny stove. You don't need a lot of money to do this. You will need somebody you can trust. Hopefully you have a relative or a friend that's got a corner of the world that'll let you do something on their land. You've got to work this out. You've got to say, hey, we'll provide security and firewood if you let us have that corner of the back 40. You give us 2 acres back there. It doesn't have to be a lot. Pastor in his sermon said, I need people, because he's got 20 acres or something like that. I don't know how big it is. He's on the other side of the river on a hillside with trees, and you know, he's got the river and wells and everything. He says, I can't do it alone either. He's going to need people to move onto his property to help run it, and he's asking people in the church. And this is even from a group of people that have been prepping since the 70s. This is from a group, and there's still more that needs to be done. We still have a lot of people that live down in the valley that think they're just going to survive down there and pump the water by hand or something, I guess. And when you're talking wells here in Central California are hundreds of feet deep, I don't know if you can use a hand pump to get the water up. I don't know if a windmill will do it when they get down to the aquifer. Up here, our wells are shallow because we're in a granite basin and the water's right there. Plus, we've got the streams and river. You know, we get the water out of that. But this cabin idea, I think, is probably the best. Unless you've already got an RV that you can drag somewhere, drive or drag, and put it somewhere and start cultivating the land. Start putting your tools up there. Even in Russia, the peasants throughout history, even they just have a tool shed somewhere outside the city that they could get to with the basic implements for hoeing. And seeds. You've got to get the seeds. Now, I'm guilty of that. We don't have any seeds. We buy stuff, we plant it, and the gophers eat it. We're having a heck of a time making this work. but I'm not going to give up. If I have to build raised plant beds, you know, with chicken wire, I'm going to do it. We tried the bucket thing. Stuff only grows so far in the buckets. That's only good for getting them started. But things are getting scary. We're headed for another dark ages, folks. That's not some spiritual thing that's in my head. That's just the cycle of life on this planet because men are stupid. Women are stupid, too. But economically, it's not going to be good for America in the next 25 years. And I don't see it ending anytime soon. So if you have this little retreat, they're not going to mess with you. If you're in a city, you're going to be messed with. Period. People are going to, it's not going to be your garden. It's going to be everybody's garden that has, you know, a board with a nail in it. And you can say, well, I'm trained. I got guns. I can do all this stuff. And I can, you know, I can defend myself. No, you won't. No, you won't. Study refugee situations all around the country, around the world. Yeah, we have had it. We're getting refugees now. You can start noticing more homeless people popping up in the cities, and that's kind of how they want it. They want you in the cities. They want to get rid of the rural communities. We've talked about that enough. I don't need to do that again. But even if you're just going out with 55-gallon drums and burying them with the means of production in them and a tent, you better do it soon. Even if you're collecting pallets and scrap wood that can be used, do it. You just need some basic stuff. You need right now that when you have electricity or you can bring a generator to a remote site, some basic power tools, and start building stuff. Even an idiot like me can build something decent. It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be livable. And you have to do it safely. When you put a wood stove in, there's all kinds of things you got to do to make sure it's flashing and that there's so many feet away from the wall and that you might maybe put some fire-resistant material around it. But one little stove, think about it, in like a 20 by 20 structure that you set up, one little stove could do everything you need. You could even rig it up by running some pipes through it, a core, some water tanks, and you have a water heater right there. You just got to burn the wood. You set up an old-style tub, and everybody takes a bath in the middle of the house, throw up a curtain, whatever. Prepare now so that you don't suffer later. Start looking at everything from digging a latrine to composting toilets. If you've got the money, get solar panels. To me, electricity is a luxury I don't really need. You know, I'll be like the farmers in the old days. When the sun goes down, you go to bed, light a candle, light a lantern, whatever it takes. I don't need electricity. I think about, just sit down and look at everything you need electricity for and realize you don't really need it. Sure, it makes some things easier. But do you need electricity to hoe a row of weeds so that your corn grows? No, you don't need electricity for that. It's a luxury. They got us addicted to it. And I'm going to keep hitting that because I don't think people realize that. This whole show is based on electricity, electrons moving from positive to negative to positive. We don't need this radio show. You can get everything I'm telling you from books or from fellowshipping in your own area. It's a luxury that I get to do this radio show. That's why I'm not too upset that it may go away because we can't afford to do it. We have to continue to remember that 100 years ago, people didn't need all this junk. You didn't need a blender for your margaritas. You didn't need margaritas. You drank corn whiskey if you needed whiskey. There is so much that we need to do in this period of grace. And I'm getting frustrated. And Thursday I got a little... Who's coming in? Well, hello. And what's wrong? Uh-oh, did you... Who did that?
I don't know.
Did it fry? Okay, well, set it down. There's nothing I can do about it right now. Stacy's trying to blow up her computer. She's bringing up, like, frayed wires and electrical tape for me to fix it. I don't know. Did your dog chew it off?
I don't know what happened there.
Okay.
I chewed it up on break.
Okay, well, you should have brought it up during the break. See, you're interrupting my flow. This is what I'm talking about.
Ignore me.
I can't. You just came in and stuck electrical wires in my face and said, fix this or die. go ahead and go to break right now, Lou. We'll go to a break. We'll come back, and I'm going to talk more about this kind of stuff. And then we're going to talk about, there was something else. July 4th, we're going to broadcast July 3rd. Sunday, July 3rd, we'll be broadcasting our Independence Day service from the church at Kaweah live. And hopefully Liberty Tree Radio will pick it up like they did last year. I'm hoping that they'll be around. It's kind of tough to do that, but you don't want to miss this. We'll be right back after the break.
Recently, seen them foreign troops in ninja suits, leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me. Heard they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection, maybe those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts and slip, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. So as they redirect our mail and all our incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency, we'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology. And as their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. Now just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. It's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
It's the third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Listening to Stronghold Radio. I'm Dutch Jones, a voice of confusion in the wilderness. Trying to do what I can for my family, and when I have extra time, I try to share it with you. And I don't have every answer. I don't have every tool you're going to need. I don't know everything. I just know what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to get others to do. We desperately need, as Christian patriots, we need to fellowship and network together. We need to make certain that we remain and we survive so that when this thing gets rebuilt, we have a say in how our corner of the world is rebuilt. That's why we're doing this. You know, it's done out of love. Even people I haven't met, I love them, because I think of families out there, that people that I've never met, that are good families that I'll never meet, but I want them to know that something has to be done and at least give them some answers. That's why we do the man camp. That's why we do the conference. That's why we do training every month and disaster preparedness. It's not because I enjoy getting up and hearing myself speak. And Lord knows I'm not doing it for the money. I'm not making any money. And it takes time away from my family and time away from my preparations. I do it because I love people I don't even know. As freaky as that sounds, as hippie-ish as that may be, I want as many people to survive this coming collapse as I possibly can help, even if I just give one nugget of knowledge. That's why we're doing the July 22nd through, is it 22nd through 24th? I'm reading other emails here, and it's, like, confusing me. Is this June, July? 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We're gonna. It'll be a Friday night. Come in Friday. We'll probably have, like, a meeting. We'll watch some videos, talk manly. Again, it's a Christian man camp. Don't bring your wives. Don't bring your daughters. We're going to organize something later for the women. That's not my job. Some of the women here have to do it. Testosterone, yeah, start storing up on your testosterone now, Lou says. I'm surprised you even knew what testosterone was, Lou. Being a homeschool kid, I didn't think you knew anything. But we're going to do a lot of cool stuff. Come in Friday night, first thing Saturday morning, we're going to hit the range. We'll do pistol, rifle, shotgun, safety awareness, how to choose a good weapon to defend your family. Hopefully we'll get a lot of father and son teams. You can come if you don't have a son. You can come if you don't have a dad. But what we want is people to show up that are men, that want to remember what it's like to be a Christian man, to stand in the gap, protect your family. We'll mix scripture in with battle planning and survival planning. And after a hot day on the range, or two ranges, depending on which task we're doing, Alpha or Bravo range will be open. We're going to take you up into the hills or back into the woods somewhere with nothing but a canteen, some granola bars, and a poncho. You know, and if you got a compass, bring it. We're going to talk land navigation. We're going to talk navigating by the stars, how to set up a nighttime defensive position, an NDP, how to act tactically in a crisis situation, how to move when you need to move, and how to stop and shut up when you need to stop and shut up. You can bring a flashlight. You're not going to be allowed to use it unless it's an emergency. We're going to sleep. There'll be people pulling guard duty. There's not going to be any opposition force. It's just trying to get people to realize what kind of discipline is required, that they have to actually stay awake for an hour, and that everybody in the group relies upon them being alert so they wake up the next guy who has guard duty. And Sunday we'll come back down the mountain. Breakfast will be had. Maybe we'll meet in the playground area, and we'll all have oatmeal or something manly like that. And then we'll go to church service, and after church service we can kind of have a post-event meet, you know, and talk about what we've done. Now, we're going to charge people $100 for this. We found that when we offer it for free, people tell us they're going to come and they don't show up. People, if we tell them it's going to be free, they come up and they don't have a good attitude and they ruin it for everybody else. So it's $100. And you're going to have multiple instructors. There's going to be Steve Klein, myself, We're working on a couple of Marines to bring in. We've been leaning heavily on the soldiers. They're going to take some time off. I think they actually have a training drill that weekend that they have to train soldiers to go to Afghanistan or Iraq. Who knows where they're sending them now? Probably Libya. But we're going to have some Marines come in. We're going to have some outdoorsmen up here that know the area, that have survived in the area. And we're gonna try and get your feet wet. It's going to be a first excursion. We're not gonna scream at you and yell at you and come flying out all dressed up like Rambo. We can do that later. But this man camp thing is going to try and get the men and the families a little bit aware of just what's going on and what needs to be done and what you can do with very little. A canteen, a web belt, a poncho, a hunting knife, you know, and what we can do. You know, you'll need water purification tabs, too. I'm not bringing a bunch of water up there. You're going to have to drink out of the creek. You're going to have to use these water purification tabs so you don't get giardia and die on me. And if you don't bring water purification tabs, you're going to be mighty thirsty. But it's going to be primitive camping where we'll discuss things. There'll be some, like, scriptural stuff involved, classroom stuff. Most of it's going to just be hands-on, firing guns, learning how to stand, how to crouch, how to fight, and how to run when you need to. And that's all part of it. And there'll be some stuff for ladies at a later date. We're going to try and get the women in this church need to stand up. I can't do all the training. I definitely can't do the women's training. So we're looking for that. And the other thing we're looking for is we need a caretaker, someone who's basically, you know, knows how to do groundskeeping and knows how to fix things when they break, maybe an electrician, a plumber kind of guy, a jack of all trades, a person with either... You know, it's retired would be good. We've got a place for you to live. We've got a little, I call it a cabin. It's a house that they, that's up here. Yeah. Stand by. Hello, you're live on the air with Dutch Jones.
Hey,
Dutch. Hey, is that going out?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you. It sounds great. What do you want to talk about? Go ahead. What do you want to talk about? Well, that's really weird.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Okay, hang on a second here. We're having a problem with the phone. Somebody pushed the wrong button or something. Stand by. Okay, that's not it. Let me make sure I can hear you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, it's really weird. It's like you're barely coming in.
Maybe my phone needs to be recharged.
No, it's not you. It's the volume on the phone isn't high enough for some reason. We'll have to adjust it, but... Because I'm coming in loud and clear, and I cranked you all the way up, so...
Yeah, I hear you, no problem.
Bring that level up, Lou. Here, let's work on it here. Bring it up. Okay, go ahead, Warlin. I'll just turn my mic down. Go ahead, Warlin.
But anyway, yeah, the subject that Mark was bringing up about the dog poisoning going on, that was very disturbing. And, I don't know what to say about that.
Well,
And then Gunslinger in the chat room, he brought up another subject along those lines that there has been an airborne virus, basically, that gives you rabies. I don't know if that's right or what, but I'm going to check into that.
Well, I would be really surprised, or not surprised at all the stuff. There's so much bioengineering going on and stuff. Anything's possible. But on the dog poisoning thing, it just makes sense that people would do that. I remember when I was a kid, that was like the motif of the break and entering guys. They would just poison the dogs the day before they're going to break in.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, my dog, she will not eat unless I am present.
Well, that's good.
Really a great thing. Yeah. Maybe even goes for outside. But she's a really great dog.
Huh. Weird. We our dog will eat anything that's anywhere unless we tell him, you know, we tell him not to eat something, he won't. But it'd be good to train the dogs that way. So, okay. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
All right. Check into that. Very interesting.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
That's all I had to say.
We appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. I don't know what's wrong with the phone. I don't know why it did that. Who knows? This phone's been crazy. Okay, my levels look good there. You guys hear me okay? Give me some feedback there. I had to turn the phone input all the way up, turn up everything on the soundboard, and nothing's changed. So it's probably the output on the phone. I don't know what these... Somebody pushed this button and didn't push that button, and I don't know. But that was weird. Anyway, we're talking about... We need a caretaker. We've got a place for you to live. There's no pay. There's no benefits. You become part of the church community, so, of course, you have to be a Christian. We're looking for somebody who's maybe on a retirement, you know, a retired janitor or something, a retired couple. If a guy's got a family and he's got a source of income, I think it's a two-bedroom house. And we just need somebody. The one that we were doing, it just didn't work out, and he's going to be leaving real soon, and that place will be vacant. And what you need to do is contact me at Dutch at Dutch. Jones.info, Dutch at DutchJones.info. Remember, Jones is J-O-E-N-S. And just maybe send me a resume or something. I'll forward it to the pastor. Thank you, everybody, for telling me that audio sounds good. And then what I'll do is forward it to the pastor, and they'll set up an interview or something. Now, check out where we live. We're in Cahuilla, Three Rivers. Google it. You know, this isn't some kind of decision that you should come to lightly if you're interested. But it's a great opportunity. Somebody who can garden would be great. We need somebody to teach us how to garden. We're here to work. We're just looking for somebody to be here, you know, on the property kind of full time and be able to do the things that need to be done for upkeep and stuff. That's what we're going to do, and that's what we're looking for. So the pastor wanted me to bring that up and let people know that there's another opening here. Again, no pay. No benefits. That's the big thing. Well, do I get health insurance? No. We're a non 501c3 free church. We do things the way they used to do it. You come into a small town, you know, you're lucky if you get an overhang to land, but we're offering a house and fellowship and to be part of our Christian community here, in exchange for, you know, a few hours a week of upkeep and keeping your eyes out for things that are going bad. So I don't know what's going on. Some Warland's saying we're kind of low, but that's just weird. I've been having weird stuff with my phone. It got taken over almost. Somebody changed my service. It went from unlimited texting and internet access to I started getting charged for it. I got this thing that said, "Hey, you've reached 65% of your allotted amount of bandwidth." And I'm like, "No, wait a minute. We've got unlimited." And then people in my contacts disappeared. And it's kind of weird, so I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's possible if they can, clone it from a distance or something. It just seems really strange. I've been talking to a lot of Patriots, and they've been having problems with their phones. Of course, we remember Randy Albert a week or so ago. His phone's going nuts. The lady from Southern California, Martial Law Alerts, her phone's gone nuts. Just all kinds of weird, wacky stuff going on there. So anyway, back to the topic at hand. We've got about 15 minutes or so. Left in today's show. I think we're only going to do an hour. So those of you that are sticking it out, I appreciate it. I'm not going to do 2 hours if I got nothing to talk about. It's weird. Everybody's saying the level is lower than usual. All our stuff looks the same. We've got meters that go out. So it's something, but that doesn't explain the phone. I don't know. Maybe we're being harassed. So we apologize for any audio problems there. Before the break, we were talking about hooking up, linking up, making sure that you've got enough people that you can, you know, distribute the workload. Some communal work. I know people hate that word communal because it sounds like communist, but there's got to be some things you got to do together. Security, transportation. If you're going to have a post-collapse economy, you're going to have to transport whatever you're growing or you can trade away. Is everything okay, Lou? Okay. Things that you can trade for things that you don't have. So you've got to have enough people to get everything done. So they're saying now that we're low and the ads are loud. That's really weird. I think, because if I'm looking over at the meter right now for Lou, and I don't know what he did, but everything's the same as it always is. I can see that I'm just going into the yellow on the Ustream meter for our output. I'm actually cranked, and I'm about 25% louder than I normally am. Very weird indeed. It probably has to do with the satellites and stuff. We'll just chalk it up to that. It's just random noise in the system. So there we go. But one of the things that we're trying to do is we've got to come up with a family plan. We've been kind of running ad hoc with little chunks here and there, but there has to be a solid plan that everybody can see. And if that means getting a dry erase board, sticking it in the garage, and making lists of materials that you need, or things that you have extra and tasks that need to be done, and then you just tell your family, hey, if you've got nothing to do on top of your regular chores, come out here and look at this board and let's do it. Like, it could be as simple as sort through all of our camping gear. Like, we've got bags and bags of parachute cord that needs to be sorted, put into bundles, you know, wound up so that people can use them. We've got parachutes up here that need to be mended and stuff that we can use for cover. You know, we set them up and make canopies out of them. There's always things that need to be done. There's critical things that need to be done that should be part of your regular distribution of the work. You know, you tell your wife, honey, I need you to go through the kitchen. I need you to organize all the food so we can know what we've got. I'll go through the survival food and I'll figure out what we got, and then we'll figure out what we need to get. And that also helps if you're working with other families. Like last night, we buy tons of ramen. We just, every time we go to the store, we buy a couple cases of ramen. It's just something we do. And some people say, well, that doesn't preserve very long. It goes stale. Well, we don't eat it just as ramen. We mix it with spaghetti sauce. We throw chicken in it, vegetables, whatever we need to do. So even if it goes stale, we're not going to really notice it because we're heavy on, spices, things like that. So, but you're not going to learn these things unless you bounce off one another. I'm really looking forward to having Kim come over from Southern California Martial Law Alerts in the fall and teach us how to make cheese and sour cream and things like that with powdered milk. You're not going to learn that on your own. You can read all the books in the world, but until somebody actually shows you how to do something that's offbeat like that, you're not going to come across it. I've read all the survival books that I know of, and they're all the same. They have little twists to them. That's why everybody says, why don't you write one? I go, because it's already been done. Nothing I have to add is anything new. I just kind of chunk it together into a buffet and invite people over and say, take what you can and you know, don't take what you don't need. But that's what we do. Go through your clothing right now. Find out what you have, what you need, and what you don't need. Count up your boots, count up your pants, your work gloves, your hats, your winter clothing. Even if you live in a cold climate, what if you bug out? Are you going to bug out and not have any winter clothing? If you're in Phoenix and you go to Flagstaff, what's going to happen if you don't have any cold weather clothing? What's going to happen if you're in Michigan and you have to bug out and you end up in Texas and all you have is parkas and mittens? You know, those of us that live in cold climates that are seasonal are kind of at an advantage. Now, we're not, you know, granted, we're not Alaska, we're not North Dakota, we're not Minnesota or anything like that. But it does get cold here, so we do have a smattering of cold weather gear. Go through your packs and everything. Go through your vehicles. Now is the time to be doing this. This is the period of grace that God has given us to make sure that we're standing firm, one, in His Word, and two, in the physical world, that we understand that we may have to bug out. We're real fortunate. We've been focused. Our bug-out vehicle is running for now. We may be losing our other vehicle because of the divorce and stuff that I went through years ago. I may have to give the vehicle back. But we've got a vehicle. We have one good vehicle that runs right now. It needs to be fixed up. Men, you got to be on that. You got to make sure that your gear, if you don't want to leave it in your vehicle because then it degrades it, especially in the heat, have it ready to go in duffel bags in a cool place. So all you have to do is grab four or five duffel bags instead of 1,000 things and put it in. The worst feeling I have is when I go, honey, where's my, and everybody says, I don't know, last I saw it was over there. And that's usually because somebody used it and didn't put it back where it belongs. Just moments before the show, I looked down at my pistol and the front sight was missing. That's a little problem with these Walther P-22s in the holsters. When you pull them out, the front sight pops out. Well, when you get it, they give you extra front sight. So I said, where's my case that it came in? There's going to be in there. And nobody knew where it was. I had to go digging for it. And that's my fault. I should have known where it was. And even if other people are moving it, it's still my fault because I don't instill the discipline. Like, hey, if you touch my stuff, put it back where it belongs. And we've got to do that. We've got to get our families in order, men. We've got to get our wives into a position of understanding and obedience. A lot of women hate it when I say that. But if I'm going to be risking my life to save my wife, she better be willing to obey me and do the things that need to be done while I'm out doing the hard stuff. It's just fair. People say, you know, there's no fairness in the world. Well, there should be in marriage. if I'm out, let's put it this way. If Lou and I are out whacking weeds for 6 hours and we come home and we find out that the two women folk have just been sitting on their butt playing Parcheesi all day, we're going to be mad. You've got to break those attitudes down and get your family where they need to be. And that's part of why we're doing this man camp, so that folks will be able to realize their roles, their Christian roles in the family, where kids fit in, where spouses fit in, where where the wife is supposed to fit in. And if everybody's doing their work, you're going to have a much better time of it. It's not going to be easy. There is no way, unless you're Bill Gates and you can go build a compound in a mountain somewhere, that your life is going to be easy. And even then, there'll be problems. It's going to be hard, and there's going to be a lot of us that don't make it. Is that CD player on over there?
No.
I just heard something click over there like... I was playing a CD. We got weird noises in the research center. Ooh, okay. So we've got to do this work now so that we have to not be panicked later. Panic later. So get back to it, what I talked about in the first hour. Look into a survival shed. Think hunting cabin. Think man retreat. You know, get up and if you build it in a couple weekends on your brother-in-law's property. Even if it's crude, you're making it out of packing crates. Start looking around. You don't even have to go buy this stuff. I can build what I need to build out of most salvaged lumber from, you just go around and say, hey, what's up with that wood? Can I have that? Buy as little as you can. Salvage and recycle as much as you possibly can. First by, going around and looking for it, and then finding what you have that's wasteful. I looked into those shipping containers. They're anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000 for just a raw shipping container. Then they have these kits you can build them out with. That's fine if you've got the money to do that. I don't. I'm going to have to build something from scratch. I told you guys last week that the house that I'm in is up for sale now. The church, and it's their right to do so, has made a decision to sell half the property to try and raise some funds to fix the other half. We've got 22 acres. We've got great bottom farmland down there, but nobody's coming here to farm it. Nobody's volunteering to do any upkeep or fix things that need to be done. Everybody's got great ideas. Oh, you guys need to do that. So the church has decided to sell it. And if they sell it, that's fine. It's God's will. I'll find some place to live. I'll move back into the research center if we have to, because they're not selling that part of the property. But the money that we would gain from selling that 9 acres could be used to build a much better stronghold and to fix these broken down buildings and stuff that we have. For so long a time, a very few group of people, and I'm not one of them because I've only been here for 4 or 5 years, have been carrying the burden of keeping this place here, keeping the torch lit so that others can see this place and learn from here. While others have benefited from it, came and taken away, very few people have come here and given. Everybody comes here with a story. It's usually broken down people like me that come and stay. But people who come here have to start giving back to it, and you've got to find the same kind of thing in your area. You've got to find a stronghold in your area. If you're in L.A., look in the San Bernardino Mountains, but you're not going to... Lou asked me today, how do you get out of L.A.? And I said, there's basically, you go south, north, or east, and then there's little variances there. That 14 to, let's say, 16 million people in Southern California are just going to clog those freeways and get out, trying to get out. And it's going to be a melee. Humans are going to eat humans. And if you don't have a place to go, it doesn't matter anyway, and you're just going to sit there and die. But if you have a place to go, you can go there early. Leave before you think it gets bad. Go every weekend. Go every chance you get. And if it clicks, it's funny. It's like when my daughter Anthea is here with us, and we're one big family, Mom and Lou and Anthea and me, and we're all just sitting there. I pray, Lord, let it happen today. If it's going to happen, let it happen today when my family's together. Because of the heartbreak that I'm anticipating, knowing that she's in Napa and I may never be able to get her. And I may never see her again, or it'll be a long time before I see her if she survives at all because of the mentality of her family that she lives with. I deal with that stress every day. So don't tell me how hard it is. Don't tell me you can't do it. I am dirt poor here. We're so poor, we can't pay attention, like the old joke goes. We survive on about $800 a month. Lou and I work our butts off to bring in money so that we can have food every day, the fresh stuff that we don't store. So we can buy a few survival things. We can get ammo, and every once in a while we might save up and get an extra weapon or a survival device or something. So don't tell me it can't be done. I get so sick of people that have got 2 houses, 5 cars, going, oh, there's nothing I can do. I'm just stretched to the limit. Like, you have any idea how retarded you sound right now? Sacrifice now so that you don't have to perish later. You know, becoming a prepper, it's about the process. I understand that. It's not always about the goal, because you may never reach the perfection of, you know, having the great hideaway, subterranean, you know, everything with a nuclear generator. But I'm going to have no sympathy for the people that I know very well, and I love them, but I will have no sympathy for them that are spending all their money on a, you know, sending it to a bank for a mortgage they're upside down in, or investing in things that are never going to come to fruition, or that little sports car that they drive around in when they haven't prepared. Now, if you've prepared and you do that, that's fine. If you've got the wherewithal to do it, I have no problem with that. If you've been a good steward of it, it's none of my business. But if it means you're going to burden me and mine later because you're going to show up here because, you know, you're like, well, I bought that Hummer, and I thought that's all I need, but I don't have anything else. If it were up to me, I wouldn't let you in. But hopefully you guys, you know, that are listening to this understand that, and it won't be come to that for you guys, especially those of you that are far away and you have to create your own. I get emails every day. Oh, I wish I was near you. I wish I could do it. That's great. I'm glad your heart's with us. But do it where you're at. Get online. I spent today, we had to drive up to drop Anthony off way up north, and then we spent the night at the in-laws, and I got up today. You know what I did? I got on and I looked for anyone in the Central Valley that was involved with the Tea Party movement. You know how I feel about the Tea Party movement in the Central Valley. And I sent them emails telling them about us. Hey, check us out. Check out the church website. Check out my radio show today. A couple of people were like, who are you? I don't know you. Don't email. Okay, sorry I offended you. But I'm still trying. I'm still reaching out semi-locally. I think the farthest south I went was Bakersfield, but Fresno, Hanford, Visalia. If I saw people that were involved with the Tea Party movement and they had email addresses locally, you know, within an hour or hour and a half of here, I sent them a little thing saying, hey, if you're interested in the Tea Party, maybe you need to look at this kind of stuff too. Are you doing that? Or are you just sitting in your basement going, everything sucks, polishing your 45 going, I'm just going to shoot the first SOB that tries to take my beans and weenies? That's all I'm trying to do here. And if I got angry on Thursday, well, that's just because I'm tired of getting the emails where everybody asks me the same questions over and over again. What water filter should I buy? And then they never buy them. I don't even care if you buy them from us. We had somebody cancel an order for gas masks because we didn't ship them like overnight the next day. It's a little deeper than that, but the guy turned us into PayPal because he ordered them on Thursday, and he didn't get a confirmation that they had shipped on Friday, so he turned us in. So he said, look, pal, here's your refund. We don't want to do business with you. It takes us 2 to 6 weeks to get you something. We're a small situation here. If you need them that bad, go find someplace else to buy gas masks. I'm done with these people that are in the last minute going, oh, I got to have it now, I got to have it now. And the people that say, I got to have it now, and then they don't listen. I got a good friend down in Southern California that doesn't heed anything I say. But yet he's always like, yeah, I really got to get up there. My own brother, he at least went out and got some land. And he's going to start doing that stuff in Colorado. You know, put a motorhome on it or a trailer on it. But unless you're actively spending 2 to 3 hours a day at this, I think you're behind the curve. I really do. Even as prepared as we are up here, we're going to hurt. We're going to hurt bad. Like I said, I don't have money to buy seeds. It's hard for you to buy seeds when we don't have fresh produce in our refrigerator. It's hard for me to go out and buy gold and silver when I don't have enough food in the fridge to make it to the end of the month. And I hate tapping into my survival food. That's not a smart thing to do. I tell you that all the time. Well, Lou's playing the music, and that tells me it's time to come to an end. We will probably be here tomorrow unless they pull our internet. We haven't paid it. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a little bit of a lag. I think it's 2 days now. It's been due for 2 days. If we don't see that shipping go up and the internet people don't come back, it could be several months before we're back on, because I'm not going to keep paying the internet bill out of our food pocket to do the show. So, folks, you've been listening to Stronghold Radio. If we're here tomorrow, Steve Klein will be with us. We'll talk more about Man Camp. Just remember, everything you do today ensures a future for your offspring tomorrow. It's as simple as that. We're fighting for our children's future and for our faith. And if you can't get behind that, then it's already a lost cause in your family. We'll be back when we can. God bless you and all you do for the holy cause of liberty.